Welcome to the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Favia and Associates. Our guest today is Ms. Susan Quirk, the Managing Director of the 360 Advisory Group, focused on innovative human resource strategies and solutions to help grow and position healthcare practices. How do you know if a hybrid workforce model is going well? How do we get started making efficient use of healthcare practice structuring to make more money and ensure that doctors' voices are being heard and valued when analyzing all the options in technology and innovation that make healthcare practice amazing? This is what we're talking about today, and it's my pleasure to now present insight on how Ms. Quirk and the 360 Advisory Group brings the joy back to the practice of medicine. Good afternoon, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm excited to have you here. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time today to talk about our topic of bringing joy back to the practice of medicine, because who doesn't want that?
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and the 360 Advisory Group and how you approach the conversation. When you get to talk to people, where are we on this? And let them know a little bit about what we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. So I've had the pleasure for the past 25 years to consult to the healthcare industry. And if you think back, you know, we've been through a lot of hills and valleys. The side of this business is one that is often neglected. Everybody gets very excited about a new strategy or a new toy in terms of technology or the latest tool. But the people side is something I have focused on for my whole career. About 15 years ago, I realized that there was a very special piece of a workforce that was very different than the normal workforce. And I really needed to zero in on that. And that was the physician. The physician marches to a different drummer, if you will. They are very highly trained, and probably about 65% of them are now employed, which is also new. A lot of these men and women went to medical school thinking they would be independent practitioners. So that's another challenge. The 360 Advisory Group is a group of, we are a boutique firm, and we are a group of very highly experienced, networked individuals that use our influence to really make client lives better. So that is a unique perspective that 360 has. And basically, in terms of leveling the playing field, if you think about the war for talent, was raging pre-COVID, and it's really worse now. Stress is higher. Folks are looking for an out. And oh, by the way, with stress, workforce, and physicians, you also have a reduction in patient experiences. You know, tempers are flaring, as well as, you hate to say it and speak about it, the quality and safety of patient care is also being compromised.
One of the things that we'll talk about in our 30 minutes today, we'll talk about the financial implications of some of the talent shortages and employment issues that you've led us to talk about, and also the agency dependence and where that can be a problem, and depending on those agencies. Also, we'll talk more about how to make things happen and get there to the right place and getting to that joy through a hybrid workforce model and adapting to technology and innovation. And then also physician engagement and respecting those different healthcare practitioners' best interests and the style in which they've become ready to practice. And we always have to remember that they're, you know, practice medicine like in the current situation. Now practice medicine while jumping on one foot. Now practice medicine while jumping on one foot with three hands, you know, on your shoulders and tied behind your back. So as we've seen the growth of so many different medical groups and innovations in the way that the business of medicine operates, many physicians feel stressed out. Some are looking at early retirement. Some are throwing their hands up. And some just want to know, how can I practice how I want to practice and still do well and have a happy group of people I'm working with, give good patient experience and quality care? That's all we really want to do. And when we do those things, we get to that moment of joy. So, Susan, what does it look like when you meet someone and when we start talking about the financial implications of talent shortages and agency dependence? Because it feels like that is where people really feel their pain and they want some help.
So that's a great question. And let me just begin with a couple facts. It costs $1 million to replace a physician that walks out the door. Now, you have a recruiting fee. You have the cost on the brand, which you really can't tabulate, but you also have the onboarding process, you have the credentialing process, et cetera. And it really, for a physician, even primary care, it's about $750. So $750 to $1 million for any physician that leaves your organization to replace them. In terms of agency nurses are paid about three times what you're paying your typical charge nurse or floor nurse. So think about the dynamic there. The dynamic in the patient room when two nurses go in, one is a stressed out charge nurse who has 12 years at this organization, and one is a traveler being paid three times what the charge nurse is. There is a cultural dynamic, and the charge nurse certainly does not feel great about that. So how can you shift a paradigm? By keeping people in your organization are great, your A and B players, but we can't create more bodies. We can't rush people through med school or nursing school. So what we need to do is really work smarter and have frictionless workflows. And what does that mean? That is really the technology that we're talking about, certain of things that we really don't need folks doing in terms of hands-on in the room, or even something as silly as supervising hand washing. Automating hand washing with a wearable is something that really reduces a lot of time. So there are lots of startups out there. They're doing great things. But here's the catch. The catch is, what startups and what areas do folks really want to have change? So that really gets an organization to the point where, if you listen to me, I will feel valued, I will feel better about my roles, but I will also help you and be a very powerful change agent. But oh, by the way, when you decide to implement certain of these innovations, make sure you also give me the opportunity to learn what I need to learn to be more effective in the new environment. Or stress comes up again, because will I be replaced? Things in that nature. We are right now, post-COVID, we are what's known in a stabilizing phase. And the stabilizing phase is extremely important, and it creates a lot of opportunity for organizations to stop, to really stop what they've done for years and pivot and ask those folks for their input. And not only ask them for their input, but also act upon that. And get some small teams going. Get some small wins going. So hope is in the environment. These are the things that will help you win the war for talent and folks will not go across the street for a dollar an hour.
One of the things that we talked about before our program was the technology, and we were mentioning Zoom calls. I've seen so many situations where everyone is on every Zoom call, and I appreciate that some who do that want to maintain quality control. They want to respond to their liability carrier and be able to make that statement that everyone has been on the call, everyone's been trained and cross-trained. But sometimes there's limits, and sometimes productivity and patient experience may suffer because of the bureaucracy and the weight of everything that we do that we think we need to do to be compliant and tick all of our boxes. What do you say to that?
Well, I think the other thing you're talking about is hybrid workforce, right? So for many, this is considered a meaningful benefit because of they are able to achieve really their work and home life goals. But unfortunately, you cannot just leap into this. You really, to your point, you have to be really mindful of who needs to be in the call. Healthcare is over-meetinged to death, and the hybrid workforce only works if you've been able to go through a strategy and look at the day in the life of a pharmacy tech person, for example. What Zoom calls do they really need to be on? And also going back and assuring that you have checked all the boxes. I was with an organization yesterday where, interesting how they coined the phrase, they said, there is one source of truth, and that source of truth is the person who understands all the bylaws, who understands all the ins and outs of compliance, et cetera, patient safety, patient quality, et cetera. And that source of truth is centralized. That centralized source of truth takes time to create, but if you're able to create it, it really helps as you build your hybrid workforce so they are not only connected, they have the right level of collegiality, they have the right level of training in terms of being prepared for the calls, but to your point, they only sit on the calls where they're going to have input and their input's going to be valued.
It, when I think about, when you talk about hybrid workforce, for those who might not understand that exact definition, what do we mean by hybrid workforce?
Hybrid workforce is someone who is not on the front line all day. So they are someone that may have either a job that is completely remote or remote 75% of the time. So you have frontline workers, obviously, who are in the action, and they really need to be in direct patient care. And then you have support folks that may or may not need to be in the building, and in the meeting, per se, they can, you know, phone in or Zoom in. That's what I mean by hybrid workforce. I hope that answers your question.
One of the things that I cover frequently for attorney Michael Fabia's firm in my role as a marketing director, is a lot of the rules and regulations regarding, you know, just looking at the challenge of the opioid epidemic and some of the times that, you know, as a physician, you're responsible for, you know, the buck stops with you. And it's scary sometimes within the organization. Things can be going wrong and not everyone knows, and it's difficult to trust. So the way to trust is to document and oversee everything, to sometimes, as we're discussing here, a little bit excessively in amount. So we need to be able to trust people, and that trust is hard sometimes to get to. And if you need to defend yourself and your practice later, we have consultants talking to us. We have attorneys talking to us. And as a physician who just wants to practice and help people, it can be so difficult because that physician, it almost feels as if their personal feelings, thoughts, their personal ethics have to take a back seat to everyone else who's in their ear telling them how it needs to be done. So how do we be respectful of our healthcare practitioners' best interests and engage the physicians and, as you said earlier, have their voice be meaningful? That's a challenge.
Well, I think as we talked about earlier, we need to work smarter. We have to have multiple sources of truth. And when we go into a client to see the fragmentation of the communication, it's sometimes absolutely mind-boggling. So streamlining those work processes and ensuring that, you know, we have the physicians back, and certain of the innovations that are very effective for physicians, and so they can be completely patient-facing, also are things related to the EMR. So the electronic medical record that does not need to be documented post-visit, you know, from an AI perspective, you can be capturing the information. Now, you have to trust all of the systems you bring in-house, but there are other people than the physician that should be the ones that are vetting those. So improving communication, working smarter, and also giving the physicians the tools they need to understand that these are trusted systems. Because at the end of the day, you said it right, the buck stops at them. It's their license that will be revoked if something goes awry.
Yes. Yeah. Many of us also do have an interesting perspective on healthcare as an industry that sometimes we get from television. Now, that might not always be correct, but certain shows out there highlight the struggles that physicians face. And a lot of times we see a very interesting battle between the physicians and the CEO and the rest of the chief officers, and they're doing their job and their mandates. And sometimes there's really a struggle when they want to help someone and they need someone to advocate for them. So I really like how that is a role that you may find yourself in. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, it's interesting is physicians, it's called, you know, you're in a white coat, the executive is in a black coat, the white and black coat. It's famous in most healthcare lore, if you will. However, at the end of the day, when we put patient care at the center, that is when both factions, if you will, have a meeting of the minds. But one of the things we have lost is the congruence of vision and values. And vision and values and how closely they are aligned is something which, when I go into an organization, I do about a 40-question survey. There's 10 areas that I question, and the first one is values and vision. And also, the other piece is purpose. You know, we are driven by our purpose, and not our transactional purpose, but our real purpose. And a lot of people can have superficial purpose, but most physicians and executives went into this profession for the same purpose. And it is getting down to those discussions, but also having collegiality and respect for each other. There's a lot of gnashing of teeth because sometimes CEOs have to say no because of the finances. However, if we can work smarter, reduce turnover, we also can add to the bottom line. So it really takes a lot. And there's so much swirling in the system. The other thing that I also want to point out is most organizations have a lot of history. And sometimes that platform of trust has been annihilated. Something that may have taken 5 years to create can be blown up in 10 seconds. So we really need to get to what are the three things each of us are trying to accomplish in this day. I never make it more than three. And what's interesting is most organizations, once we do get on this same playing field, the other decisions are quite easy. You know, what is it that we need to do to grow our service line? What is it that we need to do to grow our primary practice care? What is the onboarding approach we need? Because at the end of the day, these are very smart individuals who, for some reason, have just been asked to go into their separate corners for years. We need to bring them out of their separate corners, and they need to partner together for the solution, because we need both of them. Just one will not deliver the solution we need in the war for talent or bringing the joy back to medicine.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. You know, we've had so many great programs and guests on this podcast that we've been doing for years. And happy employees is a theme that we get pretty often. And one of the programs you did involved the construction and architecture behind specific dental practices. And I had no idea that there was so much that goes on into just the floor plan and layout and patient area and the positive sense of ownership that some employees at the dental offices were receiving, and how the patients were happier, the overall mood was elevated. And we talk a lot about dentistry and the growth of dental service organizations and different opportunities for dentists to grow their practices as well as physicians, and that buy-in of focusing on happy workers and happy employment is just such a great thing. And when we think about our dental professionals, some of them have rather small practices. Some are getting into larger practices. And when we talk about healthcare organizations, we have very large groups. So tell us a little bit about the variety of folks with whom you work and the size practices they have. And I suppose it's a little bit of everything.
It is. It can be as small as four. And it can be as much as 720 doctors. And sometimes the groups where it's as small as four are more difficult to solve because a lot of it gets personal. But I think in terms of stepping back and approaching it very simplistically from a values and vision alignment, a mutual respect, a leadership and understanding the career goals of everyone in the room, and also what are the two or three things that are the burrs in their saddle every day. One of the biggest things for small practices I have found is whether or not rooms are completely stocked. If rooms aren't stocked, it throws everything off. That is what I call a small win. Now, maybe for a larger group, believe it or not, a small win is being able to find a parking space. I have had organizations where we get down to what are the three or four things that we can take care of in the next month that are going to alleviate the stress so you aren't dreading going to work every day. Believe it or not, sometimes it's that simple. Now, sometimes it's much larger, but the simple things we can handle. And that also plays back to the individual. I value your input. I respect you. I want you to come to work and be your best whole person. That is what we need to get to for every individual in the healthcare setting today.
So when you talk about joy and what brings a doctor joy, what are the things that bring them joy? And it's, yeah, I mean, having nobody parked in your parking space and being able to park at the beginning of your shift is one thing that I can see would, like, disrupt my joy. But these are things that we don't think about because, unfortunately, we think of doctors as these superhero, beyond human entities. And your parking space is something so central to people, like that's everyone. So what are the other things that bring the joy?
The other things that bring the joy, first and foremost, is a good patient outcome. So what does that mean? That means the care team has no friction. Their workflows for that surgery all played on time. And we also were able to ensure that everyone in that room, whether we were using robotics or not, we had the skills because our career advancement had been championed. Now, those are three things, which at small and large practices. And lastly, compensation. Compensation only rears its ugly head when it is not viewed as fair, and when it is not viewed as fair or equitable. Equitable equally is challenging these days. Are we paying everyone regardless of what they look like, where they came from? Are we paying them same level? That is also something which, if it's handled, it becomes number three, because physicians really want to deliver great patient outcomes. And that is what keeps them coming. But they have to do it in a frictionless environment. That's why we need great nurses. We need happy techs. We need great patient experience with families. It's a very complex stew, if you will, and one ingredient can go awry, and a physician will feel less satisfied.
That makes so much sense. I appreciate all these points. And if someone is listening to this and they say, I want to know what it would look like to work with a consultant, like someone at the 360 Group, how would that happen? What would they expect? How much time do they spend with you? Because working with a consultant is not only their resources financially, but also their time and their staff in working with someone like yourself. So that alone may bring them concerns about how we can logistically make all these things happen. What's the commitment like? So let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. At the beginning of the podcast, I mentioned that we are a very senior group of practitioners, which does not mean we're super expensive. What it means is we've seen it. And if we haven't seen it, maybe my partner did. I work very closely. I have two partners who are also extremely entrenched in not only innovation, but also workforce and physician engagement. So the involvement is, we do have a methodology that we propose that is pretty much tried and true. It's something, the methodology for both of these efforts are about 15 years old, probably been practiced on over 100 organizations. But once you've seen one organization, it's only one. So while we don't come and have a predisposed approach, we want to come and listen to understand the challenge and if we can help you. And if we can help you, we can. And if we can't, we will refer you to someone we might know or tell you we can't. So in terms of your involvement, we like to have clients involved, however, involved at the right point. We do the legwork, we do the analysis, and we bring you the options and present the legwork and the analysis so we can come to a conclusion that makes the most sense given your culture, given your marketplace, given the challenges you're facing today, and in what you would like to build for the future. But once you've seen one, you've really only seen one. So we're not cookie cutter, and we don't bring people in a big yellow school bus that run around your organization.
We are partners.
Right, exactly. We are partners.
Well, you're partnering with them and you're creating. So I'm guessing that there's a longer term follow up. It's not just here's your report and see you later. Have a good run with it. How often do you usually stay in touch with folks and follow up? Because things, having the plan and having everything right in place might be great for 6 months and then all of a sudden there's a surprise. So these seem like these would be long term relationships.
We talk about it as a journey, and it is a journey. Obviously, we're very involved, but we always have periodic check-ins over the first year that are extremely important, because if things do go off the rails, we want to be able to right them before, you know, there's any real affect. I've had the pleasure of working with certain of these organizations for 5+ years. I have very long-term relationships, and this is something that is top of mind for many executives from small practices to large practices and healthcare systems. But it's also something that I really view clients as partners. And I want to partner with them more so than deliver just a solution and move on to the next one.
It's so valuable, and I'm so glad that the 360 advisory group is there and you and your partners can do that and help give, especially just giving the respect and giving a voice to those physicians who feel like they need to adapt to an ever-changing environment, but how much do they need to adapt, and how much can they continue to do what they set out to do when they made the decision to go to medical school so many years ago. And, you know, if we think about it, those decisions, I mean, I made the decision to go to law school when I was all of, I don't even know, not even 20 years old. And it seems like that is your life's calling then, and it turns into something that just becomes who you are. And you have to adapt and change to things, and being flexible is very important. I've heard so many TED Talks about that. But being flexible doesn't mean you have to be, I guess, waving in the wind, so to speak. So it's important that we are respectful to people and, you know, listen to what they want to do and find a way to make that happen. So it's very encouraging to hear all this. So if people do want to get in touch and learn more, what are best ways to be in touch?
The best way is to send me an email at S as in Susan, Q-U-I-R-K, at the numbers 360, the letters AG.com, or feel free to call myself, 770-335-4383. And just one parting comment. We have to realize that people listen and hear things differently. We have 5 generations of physicians practicing right now. And the art and science of consulting is also understanding how those various generations can best hear and listen and be encouraged and want to adapt. And that's also something which we have studied. And I've had the pleasure of working with lots of generations at once. And I think that also is something that's helpful to clients.
It is. It is. My undergraduate was in communications, and studying a lot of that is one thing when you're in school, and then when you become an adult, you start realizing how it works. And as myself, as a Gen Xer, I frequently find myself working with different lawyers and people of different just how people communicate and how they can respond to folks. I've got some lawyer clients who they want me to text them. There's others who I would never dream of it because it's a formal process to just communicate with them. And everyone has their own style and no one's right or wrong. And the more that we can learn to be flexible and adaptive in the world in which we live and practice, that's where we get to a happy spot. So I look forward to people taking advantage of the opportunity to bring the joy back to the practice of medicine. Give Susan Quirk a call or an email and let her know that you're interested in talking. I also want to thank all of the people who listen to our programs here. This program is brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Fabian Associates, with offices located in Chicago and Rolling Meadows. For introductions and referrals to healthcare professionals in the Chicagoland area and nationwide, call Michael V. Fabian Associates at area code 312-609-6666. And this podcast production and marketing by Lone Star Content Marketing. This is Nick Augustine for the Healthcare Consultants Podcast. Again, my guest today has been Ms. Susan Quirk from the 360 Advisors. And I thank you all for your time. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you.